practice habits. So I want to talk about today on this truck talk. You can hear my truck running. I'm actually driving down the road, which I do pretty often in my life these days. So people ask that all the time. How much should I practice? They beat themselves up if they don't. So what's the best, what's the most ideal? Well, I mean, obviously, the more you practice, the better you get. But quality practice is better than, a little bit of quality practice is better than a lot of crappy quality practice. So you can get a lot done in a little time if you focus on the right things. So what are those right things? First off is attitude. Maybe even cultural attitudes and era attitudes. The violin world and often the piano and sometimes classical guitar world. All these are more classically oriented in general. It's a long-standing attitude in these endeavors. It came from an era in human development where discipline and hard work was the most important thing and a factor in your mental fortitude and actually survival skills. If you could focus and work hard, you'd actually survive in some cases. I know this is the case of my own father, who was a military man in his early years. If he didn't know how to focus and also work hard, he would have died in many of his missions, as I heard about later. But somehow in the Western culture, we got that working hard is the top thing. And not necessarily working smart. You hear a lot of gurus talk about working smart. Some people think that that's lazy, you know, to work smart and not hard. That's leftover residue from that old attitudes. So why does the violin and piano and classical guitar worlds have that in there? Well, it's because they come from this classical model, which is from the 1700s. Today, let's be real. That's what I say. Let's be real. Be real. Be common sense. In my own experience, I've talked about this other places on the site. I practiced violin as a teen, maybe a couple hours a day. I was pretty serious. Was not doing 8 hours a day, although I did do 8 hours a day probably in my late teens on music in general. Easily getting my 10,000 hours, you know, that benchmark that people say you need to do in order to be really proficient at something. Easily getting my 10,000 hours in on music in general, but because I had such a wide base of activities. I played the violin seriously, as I said. Eventually going to college on a full scholarship for that. And I also played the bass guitar like a madman, following in the footsteps of Jaco Pastorius. I was a serious jazz guitar student, learning all in my mid-teens about, you know, jazz harmony and chord substitutions and improvisation and all these kind of things. And I ate it all up. I played piano, learning from my mother since I was five. I sang in the chorus in school. I played in the orchestra. I played electric bass in the marching band. This was in the 1970s when they made a special amplifier that ran on 2 car batteries and marched down the street on wheels. I did it all. I had my own little wedding band I played from age 16. Everything I could, I was immersed in. I was in a citywide youth orchestra. So I did it. But, so I was not like my teacher who practiced 8 hours a day. He was a little, you know, the next generation back. And he's obviously, Dennis Piorski's very, 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 very good and technically at what he does. But is it required that you do that? What is realistic for you? What is your goals? What is your immediate goal musically? What is your overall goal with music? If you just want to enjoy music for the rest of your life, as many people in the Fiddle Jam Institute are adults, many are near beginners or not very advanced, at most intermediate folks, should you be beating yourself up if you don't practice an hour every day? Or if you don't practice every day? I say no. As I talked about in my own experience, I had a high school friend. I was in that city youth orchestra. with, who is a very good violinist. I think I was a little bit better than him, maybe, technically. I sat second chair, I think, in the first violins. He sat fifth chair. So he was a good violinist. And he came up to me one day frustrated, saying, "Jeff, you practice 2 hours a day, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, I practice 5 hours a day, and you're still better than me." That frustrated him. Now, I'm not saying that to stroke my own ego or puff myself up or anything. It's only to the attestment, that's the word, that my teacher, Dennis Piewarski, gave me a very important lesson that my friend never got. And it was this. One of my lessons, which were an hour a week, one of my lessons, he worked on the first measure of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto with me for the whole hour. Just the first measure. The entry note, the sound of the entry note, the attack of the bow on the first note. No, do it again. Yeah, no, do it again. You know, it would drill me. I thought at the end of the lesson he would say, "Good work." But no, to my surprise, instead he paused and then started yelling at me. "I should not have to teach you how to practice," he said. And in my semi-head I went, "What? That was practice? That's what you're supposed to do when you practice?" I thought he would just beat me to death musically. But it changed my life in many ways, not just musically. I think before that, I did what the same thing as my friend did, who practiced 5 hours a day. I think I started at the beginning, headed for the end, hoped for the best, and if it didn't make it, I'd go back and start again. And start head for the best, and try your best, and keep going from beginning to end until you get it better. Did I get better? Yes. Did my friend get better? Yes. But until I learned how to really focus on what I sucked at the worst, really being self-critical on fine details, I wasted a lot of time, as did my friend. And I think because I knew how to do that in my teens, I'm very thankful for that lesson. From that point on, my skills increased exponentially. Where my friend, he never maybe learned that lesson as well, and his 5 hours of practice didn't get him as many gains. I think I got his 5 hours of practice in my 2 hours. And he's still a friend today. He's a fine violinist. He's a school teacher, probably nearing retirement at this point, running a school orchestra program. I went on other paths, as many of you well know. I aborted the classical thing and went into jazz fusion world and never looked back. It was more my cup of tea. I'm more of a creative doer and like to do my own thing. But that's another story. Stay on practice. So how does this apply to you? Once again, if you're an amateur violinist and a near beginner and want to do well and have fun, you don't have to beat yourself up. Do what you can and focus while you're doing it. Know your goal for that day. Know your immediate goal for the next 5 minutes. Like, what do I want to accomplish? If you are sucking at one measure, work on just that one measure. You don't have to play the whole song. Get a microscope out and pick it apart, saying, "Well, in this measure, I'm really having trouble between these two notes, having, crossing strings with the bow and timing my fingers with it." Practice just that 100 times if you have to. It's like doing push-ups. Don't do just blind repetitions either. Focus. Be aware. Be aware of the sound you're making. Be aware of the motions you're making in the air. Be conscious of the space around you, how your arms and fingers are moving within the space. Focus. Really focus on what your immediate goal is, no matter how small. You get those two notes, open your focus up a little bit. Okay, now let me go back to these five notes, a couple notes before that problem spot, a couple notes after. Can I still do that and change strings smoothly? Am I aware of what I'm doing? Okay. That's pretty good. Now let's try the whole measure. Okay. I'm Okay, I'm doing pretty good there. Can I get at least 3 good times in a row where I'm actually really know that I'm focused internally? Even if someone else says it sounds good, am I really paying attention the whole measure? Get my rule of thumb is if you try to get 3 consecutive good times in a row. That's a good goal. It's not overwhelming. If you can't get 3 for that day, at least try to get 12 good ones in that practice session, even if they got a few mistaken ones in between. The next day you can try it again and see if you can get 3 in a row. Once you get to this point, you really have honed it into your bones, maybe literally, and you'll have it. So once you get that measure, what do you do? Well, you open up a few measures, a measure on either side, or a whole passage or a phrase of the music. Do you know what phrases are? Are you aware of what phrases are? Does it include pickup notes where the, you know, a singer would take a breath and start? Find those spots. You know, be as musical as you can when you practice these little areas, these microscopic trouble areas. And be relaxed. Be aware. Are you hearing the notes in your head a split second before you play them? That always works out better if you can actually imagine yourself doing it before you actually execute the notes. That's almost a metaphysical concept, but it really works. That means you're getting relaxed enough where you're not really focusing so hard on the actual skill of doing. It's becoming more music and more ethereal, more energetic. You're just imagining it and you're doing it without thinking. That's the real goal. Whether you're playing a known piece, a Mozart or Beethoven, or whether you're improvising a solo and over a jazz tune. It doesn't matter. When you're not thinking too hard about it, is where the real magic comes through, and you actually feel something from the music, and the audience, the people who are listening, will actually feel something from them, from your playing emotionally. That's the real goal. So that's forgotten a lot by students too. What is the real goal? Why do you practice? Well, you practice ultimately to be able to give yourself and others some kind of feeling, a shared experience from what you're playing. That's the big goal with music. Maybe a healing feeling. I like that, healing feeling. So don't forget the big picture. Don't be afraid or ashamed to go down microscopically into the smallest picture. So once you got that passage, going back to your practice habits, can you do, you know, a whole section of the music that includes that part you were microscopically working on? And do you stumble when you get there? Did you forget what you worked on by the time you get a couple lines in? And when you get to, "Oh!" You know, is that what happens? Do you do a Homer Simpson, you know, slap in your forehead? No, there it was. I blew it. Well, that means you need to try more. But by doing these things, it might seem like the long way to get around to the desired goal. But what is the desired goal? Again, besides feeling something, the desired goal is to be able to play the piece. That's plain and simple common sense, right? Play that section, play that part without any stumbling. You know in your gut whether you're flinching. And if you're flinching, you're not quite there yet. Right? If you're flinching in your gut, even if it comes out sounding okay, you know inside yourself. You need to be microscopic inside yourself. You need to play until you can play unflinchingly. And that then the goal has been achieved. All right, I think I lost my train of thought there a little bit as I'm driving into town here. But all this can help you achieve a lot in as little as possible time, working smart rather than hard when you practice. So again, how much do you need to practice? It's up to you on your goals and how much desire you have for them. It's never really super fun to work at things, but the results are good, right? The results, the goal is to be able to play, and you want to do that in as little time as possible. I've seen people who can really focus get a lot done in 5 minutes of super hard focus. If that's all the time you got in a day and you've moved forward, well, good for you. Yay. You don't have to beat yourself up thinking you got to practice all day, all night, and every day of the whole year. I tell my private students who are young, I don't want to beat them up emotionally and make them feel guilty and have all these complexes that they didn't practice every day this week. This is what I say. I say, if you can get 20 minutes a day, they'll make excellent progress. This would be a person in there, you know, over 10 and under 20. And if you can do the same as an adult, you're doing great. So if you can really focus, though, you can get more than 20 minutes worth of practice in. So And it doesn't have to be 20 minutes all one shot. If that's all the time you got, leave your fiddle laying on the bed where it's safe, where the cat won't chew your bow or something, bow hairs, and the dog won't step on it, jump up and crush it. Somewhere safe, or get a wall hanger and keep the thing out. And every time you walk in a room, work on that passage a little more. You're on your way from the kitchen to the bathroom, well, stop and play the fiddle for a minute. Or maybe the other way around, after the bathroom. But if you can get, 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening, and you can get 5 days a week, you've done 100 minutes that week. 100 minutes might seem like a lot to some students. Most kids, if I tell them when they're 9 or 10, they've grown 100 minutes, oh my God! But they have to understand, then I go through the math. Do you know how many minutes in every week? And they say, no. Well, let's figure it out. I said, I've done the math, and it's 10,080 minutes are in every week. So I'm not asking you to practice. I open my arms and say, if this is 10,000, I move my arms to position like a clock. This is 5,000. This is 2,000. This is 1,000. I'm not asking you to practice any of that. I'm not even asking you to practice 500 minutes. If you can get 100 minutes, which is a very minuscule part of 10,000, right? Was that 1%? If you can do 1% of practice in a week, that's nothing. Anybody can do that if they focus and are dedicated to it. And they don't have to feel overwhelmed. And if they've done 100 minutes, they practice 5 days a week. They don't have to beat themselves up that they didn't practice every day and they did something and moved forward. Maybe keep a practice chart. That helps people too. Write down how many minutes you've done that day. And at the end of the week, add them up. You'd be surprised. These little gains can help you for big gains. So don't beat yourself up is the main philosophy to my practice habits. Do what you need to do. Some people go in spurts. You need to know your own personality, what you're comfortable with too. Maybe you need that every day at the same time. Maybe that's your personality. You need to be very ordered about it. That works. But just focus while you're doing it. Every morning at 8:30, I got to practice the violin. That could work for you. Know yourself. That doesn't work for me. I'm good like that for about a few months maybe if I'm really dedicating myself to something and then I fade. I like to practice project-based. Like, I need to know this piece by this time. I'll work on it till it's done. And I'll take a break for a while. I'll practice less. I heard the great Stefan Grappelli in a show one time back. Yeah, I think he was about 95 at the time before he passed. And he said, people ask me if I practice every day. And he said, tonight is the practice for tomorrow. Get a little joke about it. Now, if you're 95 and you're, as incredible as he was, you can get away with that too. But once you get to a certain point, yes, playing is its own reward and it's its own practice too. But if you're new, you need to practice to get it not in your brain so much as in your muscles. Muscles have a memory of their own, and that's really what you're trying to develop is muscle memory at the beginning. It's not rocket science to stroke the bow across the string and put a finger down for the right amount of time. It's not a lot of, mental stuff you got to know to play the violin. You just got to have a sense for it, and you got to not think about it and let your muscles be trained so they don't have to think about it. Like, what is this thing in my right hand, the bow? What is this thing in my, oh, it's a violin? How do I work it? You don't have to think that way once you practice enough. Get it to the point of being a no-brainer. Or a muscle brainer, really. I guess having your muscles not have to think about it. So don't beat yourself up. Practice what you can. Be super focused while you are, and you'll be fine, and you'll have more and more to enjoy. If you go through bigger phases and bigger waves, I can end with this. I heard Sting, the pop star, say one time in an interview that he said some people freak out if they're not creatively on top of their game all the time. Say, oh my God, I did an album and now I gotta do another album and I got writer's block. And this happens in many disciplines, writer's block or sports person's block. Said he learned that, I thought this was very wise, he learned that everything comes in waves. If you imagine a big sine wave, a flowing wave through your life, some things will work for a while, and then they won't work for a while. And he said, when they're at the bottom of the trough of the wave, don't freak out. Know that the next wave is coming, and while you're at the bottom of that maybe uncreative wave or unpracticing wave, think of new things to do. Learn new things. And in Sting's case, he would learn new music or learn how to play boogie-woogie piano or something so that when the next creative wave comes up, he'll have more skills to use. And if you can apply this to your practice, too. If you are not in a practicing mood, well, listen to more kinds of music. Search out on the internet, you know, more violinists, more, you know, look up electric fiddle or look up images and Google images. Like, look at electric fiddle. It might, oh, that's cool, and it might lead you to a manufacturer's page, which will lead you to one of their artists' profiles and lead you to their music. And just do some research and look around. Listen, get on Spotify or Pandora and plug in violin or electric violin or jazz violin and just listen to something different and see what you can find. And something might inspire you. It's like, wow, that's cool. I want to do that. And when you're ready to practice some more, you'll have the desire and the personal goal to get there. So I hope that helps you with practice habits and thoughts about it. My pleasure to do this at the Fiddle Jam Institute. If you have any comments, please leave them. And if you think I'm crazy, please let me know. I'd be happy to spar with you or agree with you, either way. Or if you think I missed a point, add to the conversation. So, amen, and see you in the shed, as some people call it, the woodshed where you practice.